everyone. Welcome back to the Strive for Strength podcast. I am super hyped today because I have a super special person in my life joining me on this podcast episode, and his name is Nick Comedina. Just a little background about Nick. We actually met last year at the Arnold Expo, and that is when he actually became my coach and just a very, very close friend of mine. And he actually is a huge mentor, inspiration to me. Kind of is one of the reasons why I took the leap of faith to do everything that I'm doing now, and has helped me a lot with my coaching, as he is now a coach himself, like I had said. So that's a little background on Nick. But Nick, if you want to kind of dive in to tell me a little bit about how you got into fitness, what you're currently doing now, and just how you've evolved as a person and really worked on yourself in order to be able to work with other people.
Yeah, first of all, thanks for having me, Kendall. Very happy to be here with everyone. So I'll spare all the sappy details, but basically, you know, I was a string bean in high school. I wanted to bulk up, but the gym in my town wouldn't help me whatsoever without me paying them out the butt for money. And I thought that was just really shitty that they wouldn't even tell me what exercises I needed to do for anything whatsoever. So I started doing my own research, started making progress. I ended up helping one guy in the gym one day through a workout, and after the workout he tipped me $20, and that was kind of the light bulb that went off in my head to, you know, this might be something I'm good at. From there I took the ISSA course online, blew through it, got training, started training clients. Fast forward about 2 years, I dropped out of college and opened up my own gym, and have had that for almost 3 years now, and just recently started diving into online coaching as well within this last year.
Sweet. So as far as like everything with opening up your gym and like, you know, dropping out of school, obviously like that takes a lot of like mentality. It takes a lot of like just really believing in yourself. What do you think is one piece of advice that you have for someone who kind of is stuck at where they want to pursue their passion and what they really want to go after?
You know, unfortunately, there's not really a black and white answer to that, as I feel like there's a lot of factors that do go involved with somebody being able to have that mental state to truly be an entrepreneur and truly be comfortable with being uncomfortable. Yeah. In terms of not always knowing what's going to happen, not knowing if your income's going to be consistent. I mean, my income right now completely revolves around fitness being popular. And once it's not, there goes my business. And I know that. And I'm not afraid of that, because I know it is going to come. And when it comes, I will figure out something else to do. So it does come. I always say an open mind is a successful mind, meaning people tend to get caught up in being comfortable. They get caught up in being comfortable with a paycheck, and it's scary to leave that comfort of a paycheck to pursue an unknown income paycheck. So that right there can be the hardest leap for people to take, is to leave comfort to go into the unknown. So my best advice is to just do it. There's really no other way to do this. And I can get philosophical. There you go. I can get philosophical here and say, you know, we were all put on this earth to do something, and I truly believe that. And a lot of times people feel this feeling deep down in their gut that they're meant for something more, but they don't listen to it. And it scares them because they know deep down that they need to be doing that. And what I always tell people is your gut is always going to be right. That is like an internal compass that we have individually to tell us where we need to go in life. So if your gut's telling you to go do something, say fuck it and go do it.
So is that my question for you then? Is that what kind of made you go after online coaching, or was it more like you wanted to have a bigger reach? You wanted, you know, you had people inquiring for you. Like, what really made you take the leap of faith and kind of go into online coaching? Because obviously, you know, you have your own gym already, and you're doing like in-person training. What was really like that moment where you're like, yeah, you know what? I want to try this. I want to get into this.
You know, to be completely honest with you, you know, we met at the Arnold, and you and I talked. I also talked to Dez as well, and I ended up coaching you both from that. And you guys were really my first two serious online clients that I actually coached and actually gave a shit to listen. And, you know, your guys' efforts kind of sparked the initial email blow up that I had for people inquiring. So it wasn't really necessarily that I reached out to start doing it. You know, it just kind of was fate, I guess, that we all met and that happened, because after I started getting all those emails, I thought, you know, well, shit, maybe this can be a second avenue that I do. And, you know, my team has done very, very well.
Right. It's a matter of jumping on the opportunity when it comes across you, I think. And that's one thing a lot of people don't really necessarily take advantage of, which thankfully, you know, you did, because you've gotten me to where I am today. And fortunately, you know, tens of probably like hundreds of other girls and guys as well. So,
yeah.
What do you say is one of the biggest obstacles that you face as far as coaching? Because I know that you do both prep and lifestyle, pretty much any goal as far as it goes with coaching.
So I think this goes for any coach. I think almost any coach can agree with me here, is the number one struggle is battling the scale. And what I mean by that is, usually for men, it's a big mental struggle to see the scale actually go down, for the most part, right? Obviously, if an overweight guy, but men usually struggle with the scale going down, and women usually struggle a lot with the scale going up. And typically what I've found is, especially with my prep clients, in an off season, is they base their progress solely off of what the number on the scale says. So being able to teach them how to objectively look at that scale and not see that as just the pure underlying factor of progress is the big struggle.
Yeah, and the thing is, it's so funny. I went to kind of like a little seminar last night where they talked about this, and it's one of those things where people, if they feel uncomfortable with even looking at the scale, you know, it's a matter of working on the mentality aspect rather than even the physical at that point. Because if you're doing all of these things to try and make your body healthy and you know, you're doing this to feel good, obviously if that's becoming the problem, then the issue is obviously a lot bigger than just body recomposition or focusing on what your body looks like. It's the mentality aspect of it. So my question for you then, with dealing with mentality as far as your clients, because I know me being a coach as well, I mean, I just do lifestyle clients. I don't do prep. I just don't feel comfortable, whereas you have the experience for that. Where do you kind of gauge that when you're doing something like a reverse diet with people, or now with women, a lot of the thing is, and men too, you know, putting on lean muscle mass, gaining muscle. How do you really go about that with clients and dealing with the mentality behind it?
So you're saying, how do I go about making my clients gain weight to put on tissue?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So basically what, and you know this because you're a part of the team and you're in the Facebook page. Recently I had people write out goals that they wanted to accomplish. And 90% of the goals were to build muscle and compete on stage. So that's a big thing, because when you contextualize a goal there and you actually write it out and you see it every week, there's always that underlying motivation in the back of your head that what you're doing is going towards that. So for me, I kind of try to set short-term goals for them. And what I tell all my clients, you don't really struggle with this as much anymore. So it's not something that you and I regularly discuss, but what I always tell them is, I usually look at a client's pictures first before I look at any of the biofeedback that they send me. I always look at the pictures first and try to identify what's going on. It's kind of just like almost like a game to me to see how on top of my game I am, you know, like, ooh, she looks kind of bloated. She's probably doing this. And I check her sheets and I'm like, oh, that's exactly what she was doing. I nailed it, you know? So when I look at a girl and I go, wow, she looks really freaking good. She's killing this reverse diet. And then I read her feedback and she's like, I feel fat. I feel bloated. I'm up 3 pounds. It has to be fat. I must be doing something wrong. And I go, you know, I look at the pictures first and I was hyped to see what your body looked like. And like I said, the scale is truly such a struggle. So there will be weeks where I will have somebody not weigh themselves whatsoever. And they'll probably, if you're coming straight off of a show into a reverse diet, you're looking at putting on weight pretty quick.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean that it's fat tissue. It just means you're very depleted and your body's kind of filling back out. But I'll have them step off the scale for a full week and their feedback is, I feel amazing. I feel so lean. My workouts are great. I have so much energy. I feel amazing. And really nothing changed from the week prior where they were weighing themselves. They just took out that scale that was causing that negative connotation on their progress.
So do you set up any kind of strategy if maybe the scale isn't necessarily a problem for someone, but just rather like a feeling or like even I know, like with me pushing food, like when you're eating, you know, a solid for a female of my size, like a solid 2,400 calories a day or something like that. And pushing food gets hard to the point where, you know, you feel bloated or anything like that. Do you have strategies you work through with your clients? I know obviously me one-on-one, luckily I've come far enough and I've worked hard enough where mentality for me is just one of those things that I look at my end goal. But do you have any kind of strategies you work through with clients if they're just not feeling up to it? The motivation isn't really there. They're not really looking to push food even though they're trying to bulk.
Yes and no. I guess my biggest thing that I would say I do, and I wouldn't necessarily call this reverse psychology, more so having them set realistic expectations from themselves if that's where their limiting mental factor is. First thing I tell somebody is, you hired me, right? So therefore, I technically work for you. You hired me to get you from point A to point B. That is what my job is. And I do require that people trust that and understand that I am overseeing them every single week. You know, I do check-ins every week and usually people are reaching out to me more times than that. So I really try to grain it in their head that I am watching over extremely closely. But if they are to that point where they're super uncomfortable and it's becoming a mental issue and they're truly not being able to push themselves mentally because they're so scared, then I will pull their food back, but I will have them be realistic with their goals here. You know, okay, we can pull food back if you mentally are not able to handle it right now, but you have to understand you want to put on size to be competitive. You don't have that size yet. So you're going to have to understand that if we do pull back the food, yes, you might feel better right now, but it's going to be that much longer of you having to push food before you get to that stage. So I kind of put the reins in their own hands, if you will, and say, you know, if you want to get closer to your goals, then this is kind of where it's at. If you don't, I'm cool with that too, but you have to understand that it's going to take you longer to accomplish what you set out to accomplish.
That's so true. Like, I just think back to kind of, like, elaborate on this with my experience with you. Honestly, like, this is crazy. Like, I, having a coach changed everything for me. Like, I went into my prep right before, I mean, I started prepping by myself. I was like 3 weeks into prep, and I don't even know if that's what you would really call it, because I totally
not really.
Yeah, I totally didn't really have the knowledge. I didn't really know what I was doing. And it's crazy to think, just like having that reassurance and like knowing that I had someone who was like, okay, you have to do this, that, and the third. And you know, this is what you're going to work on. And just like knowing, I was like, okay, I have this structured plan. Like, I'm just going to freaking do it. Like, it's crazy to think having, you know, that reassurance and just having like the accountability, can really like set your mental state to a really stable place. And that's what I think a lot of people don't consider is getting a coach to work on things like that.
And that's another thing that people don't understand either is, you know, the industry is filled with people who think very highly of themselves, if you will. And what I mean by that is take you and I for an example, or let's take you for example, since we're the two in this, right? You promote yourself as a coach, but you have a coach. And that does not take away from you as a coach whatsoever, But a lot of people in this industry are under the assumption that unless you coach yourself and you do everything that to make your progress on your own, then that kind of discredits you as a coach. And that's not the case. I think a true coach needs to understand the value of what they offer to others as a coach and would want to seek that value in somebody else.
Right. Like you yourself have a coach, right?
Yes, I do.
Right. So it's funny. It's like a chain, how it goes. Like I have a coach, you know, and you might, the one thing about this industry too, is like a lot of people think that once they have the education and they've gotten a little bit of knowledge that they can kind of stop there and just take the reins. Whereas, you know, this is an industry where you have to constantly be learning.
Yes. And again, it comes down to the accountability here.
Yeah. And
having somebody that you, even as a coach, because I know when I coached myself, I competed. I put myself on stage. But you know what? I didn't look anywhere close to as crazy as my clients did, because I would, I look pretty good. I don't really need to go do that extra 20 minutes of cardio, or I don't need to pull my food back a little bit more, because you're doing it to yourself and you don't want to suffer.
And I think that's where I was when I first started my quote unquote prep back when I was, before I met you at the Arnold. I was like, I was the opposite. Instead of pulling back, I was supposed to be pushing more. And I really, and I had lost a significant amount of weight, unfortunately, in a really quick amount of time, which I'm sure, because it wasn't in the healthiest way possible, some of it was muscle mass, which is expected, but probably more than I could have done if I would have had that reassurance, had the guidance.
And if I remember correctly, when you and I first started, I gave you your food to eat, and you were like, holy shit, I'm supposed to be on prep. What do you mean I'm eating this much?
I was eating more than before when I had even, before I even had started my own prep, like I said, quote unquote. And it's crazy how much since from then, I've even learned and going through different certifications and getting a lot of knowledge from you, which is another thing I also, kind of tell people, make sure that you're looking for a mentor if you don't have a coach or something, where fortunately I have both of those in you, but just looking for somewhere that you can seek knowledge and get more guidance from.
Educational. And that's a good little side topic to go off of real quick, is looking for that in a coach. A lot of coaches have this problem with sharing their knowledge truly through to their clients. You know what I mean? Almost like a, here's what you're doing. Well, why am I doing that? Because I said so.
The red flag.
Yeah. And that to me is not a good coach. A good coach should be constantly trying to bring out the beast that is buried in everybody. You should want your clients. I love that I see my clients commenting on people's Instagrams you should really try doing this and this instead. And it's not in a condescending matter. It's because these people are retaining the knowledge that I constantly try to pump out for you guys.
Yeah. And another thing behind that is, for me especially, being one of your clients, and I'm sure for a lot of other people, when you can fuck someone up with the science behind it, it's like, okay, now I know why I'm doing this. And the mentality kind of almost eases, especially for me at least. Whereas I know obviously he's providing me with the knowledge and I know why I'm doing this. That's the same thing I do for my clients. It's like, okay, I'm going to show you the science behind this. I'm going to show you why I'm having you do this. And I think it really does put the mentality at ease, especially when it comes to something like a reverse diet, when you're increasing calories to maybe do a body recomposition or simply just to recuperate a metabolism. And someone's like, but why am I eating more? Obviously providing them with the science behind it really does help the mentality to push the food and to stick to the training program that you put them on.
Absolutely. And one thing that I can touch base on that one with real quick is, a lot of girls come to me wanting to lose weight, right? I want to lean out. I want to compete, but I want to lean out first. I want to get lean and then I want to bulk and then I want to do a show. And they come to me and they're eating 1200 calories a day, 80 grams of carbs, and doing, cardio X amount of times a week. And go, I just can't get any leaner. I need to cut. And, I kind of got to talk to them and say, where do you expect me to cut from? you know, where do you want to go here? You can't, you know, you're pretty much on the verge of dying here. And what happens is a lot of internal systems will actually physically shut off in the body. And because your body's trying to freaking survive, you know? And that's why a lot of people can actually be under eating so much, doing so much cardio, and feel like they're thriving. They don't feel depleted like somebody who's functioning properly would feel on prep. You know what I mean? If I put you on 80 grams of carbs, you would probably die in a week.
Oh my gosh.
You know what I mean? But that's because your body is now functioning properly when before it wasn't. Because I mean, I think you were eating like probably right around 100 carbs when you first started for your prep. And I bumped you to like 200 and you were like, what the fuck?
What is all this food? I didn't even know.
You know what I mean? But you started leaning out even faster.
Yeah. My body recomposition in literally a month, it was like glutes tighter, like waist tighter. And it was crazy how much leaner I even felt. And I had so much more energy. My hormone levels came back.
Yeah. And, you know, but that's the big thing is people want to get lean, but they thrash their bodies to do so. And typically when I cut them off the cardio completely and up their calories, they get leaner. Yeah. And they go, oh my God, I had no idea. And so one thing I can say for everybody listening here is if you go to a coach, your number one approach to them shouldn't be, I want to get lean first. Your number one approach said, I want to feel good about my body, you know? Because if you come to a coach and go, I need to lose weight, now you constantly have a weight loss goal in your head. Even if you don't think you do, subconsciously you do. And if you don't see that scale go down, it's going to hinder you. You're going to start doubting the process. You're going to start doubting your coach.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing to take away from this whole conversation that we've kind of even had here is really just like keeping an open mind and not being afraid to reach out to somebody else or taking in their knowledge. And even like with you saying in the beginning with like the entrepreneurial stance, like definitely just keeping an open mind is so huge when it comes to the realm of fitness, competing, even if you're just looking for wellness.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you have one piece of advice that you can kind of sum up this conversation or kind of give someone to strive for their strength, what do you think that would be?
I'll just kind of reiterate what I said earlier, and that's that every single one of you listening and all of us, we were all put on this earth for a reason. You can either choose to believe that or not, but I know deep down everybody feels that. You have that feeling. A lot of people try to suppress it because it scares them. I hear it all the time. My gut really tells me that I need to be doing this, but I'm so scared to leave my current job. And, you know, this might sound high and mighty and almost religious in a sense, but if you listen to your gut, the universe is going to take care of you. If you live your life with good intentions and you truly just listen to what your body's telling you and you listen to that gut and you go for what you believe in, you're always going to be okay.
Awesome. Well, Nick, I want to thank you so much for coming onto this episode, for everything you've ever done for me and everybody out there. Thank you
for having me.
Of course.